On Sayin' Day, April 5th, which is Palm Sunday, you will have the opportunity to participate in the Disciple Mission Fund Easter offering. Money collected through this offering will be used by the general ministries of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. These ministries will be identified in your April newsletter. By giving of our fruits to tend our church's ministries, we can care for, nurture, and help more people from our doorsteps to the ends of the earth. Please consider your participation. Thank you. No choir practice this week. Crafting is canceled for now. For the next month, the electrical company will be working in the area. There may be power outages during the week. Okay. The Acts donation this month is pasta sauce, and we put that in our shelf in the office. Please notice in your bulletin any additional activities this week. Are there any other announcements? Trash and Treasures was not held yesterday and is sort of canceled for a little bit since we don't know who or how many or what would be coming in. Please stand if you're able for the call to worship. It's in your bulletin. In this season of Lent, a time of preparation.
You got the wrong one. We changed it.
Excuse me, they changed it. Wrong paper. Okay. All righty. In unison, we will read this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole long life. Remain standing if you're able, and we're opening our hymnal, or in effect, maybe the words are in your, the words are in your bulletin, and that's 180, Lord, who throughout these 40 days...
Thank you. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Lord, we have reclaimed together that you are our shepherd and that you are our guide. We also remember the words from another psalm that we lift up our eyes to the hills to you, knowing today as in every other day that our help comes from you, O Lord, who made heaven and earth. Make your presence known to us as we worship you, wherever and however that worship takes place. Hear us now as we pray to you in the familiar words that guide us and give us grounding. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today, congregations of all faith groups are worshiping in different ways. We have heard a lot this week about limiting the things we do to only include the essential and to take out the non-essential. Today, we are attempting to worship on Facebook Live. We can't use the church Facebook page yet, so we are attempting to use my personal Facebook page, and by next Sunday, we'll have it worked out so we can do it with the church. For those of you that are watching and think we have a full congregation, we are well within the CDC limits, and people that are here are spaced out beyond 6 feet apart. But what is essential in worship? To me, it boils down to prayer, scripture, song, and especially for us as disciples, communion. Our service today is briefer than usual, but we have maintained the essentials. And we come now to our time of intercessory prayer, where we lift our joys as well as our concerns to the Lord. I invite you to look at the back of the bulletin. The bulletin was emailed out to all church members. And look at the back of the bulletin for our current prayer requests. Also on the cards today, we have Ernie and Allison Sizemore, the Kinley McKinney family, and then of our own, Paul and Pat are traveling to Georgia to meet their daughter from Florida to hand off a grandson. Are there other prayer requests? Okay. Let us pray. Dear God, we come to you this morning bringing up to you with us our heavy hearts, our fears, and our unknowns. As we mix with them the knowns that the daily life we all took for granted 2 short weeks ago has dramatically changed. We pray for your wisdom, we pray for your healing, and we pray for your presence to be felt among us. We pray not only for our community and our congregation, we pray for our country and our world. Dear God, we pray that as we all take time to be careful and make sure that there is physical distance between us and the other, staying home when at all possible, please help us to know how to remain emotionally and relationally connected. Dear God, I pray for children and families as they adjust and cope with the closures of schools and all the additional time together, some that can be very helpful and some that can add to the stress levels. I pray for children in unsafe situations, and I pray for parents worried too much about their own job and now having to worry about their child's education in a way that they have not had to worry before. Please give them some normalcy, Lord, and help them to be able to cope and endure and find some moment of beauty in each day. Dear God, I pray for people who live alone and who are at higher risk for isolation. I pray that you will help them find ways to stay connected and help those who love them and care for them to remember to reach out and call and send a card. Dear God, my heart is heavy for people who live in nursing homes and assisted living communities who have been suddenly cut off from the outside visitors. We know it is for their safety, and yet some of them do not have the ability to understand what is going on and instead just feel confused and forgotten. Dear God, we see in the midst of all the struggle, we see random acts of kindness. We see neighbors speaking to strangers for the first time. We see people smiling and the realization that we really are in this together. And the actions of one affects the actions of all. God, we pray for the healthcare workers, for the first responders, for the grocery store workers, for the truckers, for the delivery people, for all whose daily work requires them to interact with others. We pray for our government and our leaders that are making decisions and keeping us informed. We pray for the small business owners and family businesses, people facing unexpected and unplanned layoffs. And dear God, in the middle of all of this, we have people just trying to live life as normal, people with cancer wanting to go to treatment, and people with doctor's appointments thinking that they need to go and cannot, for people grieving, for the world in general, and for each of us in specific. We ask your prayers. We also ask that you hear not only our spoken prayers, but also hear all the prayers that continue to lay jumbled in our hearts as we seek to find the words to express them. Hear our prayer, O Lord. In the Disciples of Christ tradition, weekly worship is centered around this table. We are working to put together communion kits to deliver to each of our members for their use at home as they worship with us online. We haven't got that far, so for those of you that are worshiping at home, I invite you to feel free to stretch the envelope a little bit, find some bread and some juice that you have in your own house, and partake in communion with us. The essential part, we're talking about essentials today. The essential part is not where the bread came from, but how we use it and why we use it. The central part of communion is to remember the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ for each of us, and to remember that through his love, his life, his death, and his resurrection, we are forgiven and made whole. Our communion hymn is hymn number 387, Bread of the World and Mercy Broken, and the words are also in your bulletin, so if you don't want to touch a hymnal, you don't have to. And for those of you worshiping at home that have the bulletin, you can sing in the privacy of your own home. Please stand if you're able, if you're here. You may be seated. We are reminded that the Lord Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Hear now our prayer for the bread.
Let us pray for the bread. Heavenly Father, as we gather here at your table to participate in Holy Communion, let us remember that this bread represents your Son's broken body that he gave up so our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Help us to live out each and every day of our lives to give great meaning to that sacrifice. We accept now your covenant of love as our gift to receive and our responsibility to share. Amen.
The body of Christ broken for you. We're told that likewise, after dinner, Jesus took the cup and blessed the cup and gave thanks for it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and drink. This is a new covenant that is given for you through the forgiveness through my blood for the forgiveness of sins." Hear our prayer now for the cup.
For the cup. God, our Creator, you have given us the very gift of life itself. God, our Redeemer, when we would wander like lost sheep, you have come to meet us and lead us back to the safety of your flock. God, our host, you have welcomed us to the fellowship of your table. God, our Savior, your love is poured out for us like the blood of Christ was poured out, so that the covenant might be sealed and so that we might be yours. For all the ways you love, your love reaches out to us, touches us, welcomes us, we respond with thanksgiving. Amen.
Blood of Christ shed for you. Normally in this time of our service, we have our offering and we pass our offering plate. Today we set the offering out for the few that were here to get one when they got their bulletin. So we will not be passing the offering plate to lessen our touches. We call it at the end of, in our service, we call it worship through giving. For those of you watching at home or are hearing this on the website, just remember that worship, giving is part of worship. And so whether we are able to gather again next week or next month, please remember your worship includes your giving. And now let us ask a blessing on these tithes and offerings. Gracious God, we offer before you these gifts. We give you thanks for the opportunity to give to your kingdom here on earth. We ask your blessing on these gifts and on us as your children and your church. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And now if you're able to stand and sing the doxology.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
may be seated.
Reading the scripture today, it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and said, and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him, for we will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. The Lord's word, may it be blessed.
Thank you. As I told you this last week, I am in awe at how the lectionary text, chosen years in advance and rotated on a 3-year cycle, how they can be so relevant to situations that were unimaginable to any of us just a few weeks ago. The lectionary provides us with 2 beautiful texts today. Well, there's 4 actually, but we're only using 2 of the 4. The 23rd Psalm, which was the Sunday school lesson, in which we recited earlier for our call to worship, and the Old Testament reading, which Ed just read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Those are some beautiful words. We asked people in the hospital, there have been surveys of what's your favorite scripture, and that one ranks very high. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We need those words every day, but we especially need those words this day. The Old Testament lesson is about listening to God in times of discernment. Samuel, a prophet, had been told that King Saul was no longer to be king, and that God was telling him that he would show him who would be the next king. And as Ed just read, God sent Samuel to Jerusalem to see one of Jesse's sons. So Samuel had to listen to God. Listening to God, it sounds so easy, and yet it is one of the most difficult things that we do. And this story shows us some of the problems and steps that we encounter along the way. First of all, Samuel was afraid. Samuel was afraid for his own life. He said, "Oh, Saul could kill me." We have to listen to God even when we are afraid. Have you ever been so afraid that all you could hear was your own fear and you couldn't hear God? Ever been afraid to listen to God because of what it might do to a current relationship or a situation? The second is that listening to God, God is a very creative scheduler. God told Samuel, "Go do what you normally do. Go to Jerusalem and make this sacrifice." Sometimes God speaks to us when we're in the middle of familiar, but the word that God gives us is not familiar at all. It's calling us into new. The third is listening to God means being willing to not listen to the common wisdom. Here was this oldest son, the first one that came up, and Samuel said, "Surely, I'm in the presence of God's anointed." Now, I'm kind of like that. If I'm praying for something and the first one comes and it looks pretty good, I'm thinking, "Oh, this is surely it." But God said, "No, don't judge the way you normally judge. You judge by what things look like. I don't judge that way," says God. "I look at the heart." This invites us to look at those times when we are able to say for ourselves, "Surely this must be God's answer." And it tells us, "Wait, I'm not so sure after all." And then we get to hear God say no again. Listening to God takes patience. Jesse had seven sons there for Samuel to look at. 7. Each time, you know that Jesse was thinking, surely this one is going to be it. When we pray for things, and we're waiting for God's answer, we start to get tired. We start to think, "Wait, maybe I misunderstood. Maybe it was number 2, and here we're now on number 6. But listening to God takes perseverance. It means don't give up. It means taking the risk of saying, are there any more options that we haven't considered? In Jesse's case, it was, do you have any more sons? I like the line when he says, when Samuel says, we're not leaving till he gets here. That's perseverance. Perseverance is waiting until you have done all that you're called to do. Listening to God takes risks. It takes risks to be different, to do different, and to know different. David was the most unlikely choice of the bunch. He was too young to even go to the sacrificial ritual that the rest of them were doing. He was out tending sheep, minding his own business, being a kid. God is a God of thinking outside the box. We can't box God in. We can't box the answers that God has for us in. And listening to God takes trust. We know it just like Samuel knew it. When we hear that, aha, this is how God's yes sounds. You know, I have agonized, as most ministers did, over this week about what do we do? Do we cancel church? Do we not cancel church? Do we record church? Do we lock the doors? Luckily for me, I'm a Disciples of Christ pastor, and we don't make decisions. We just pastor people through them. But it doesn't mean I didn't pray and listen. And when God gave me a text like this in the lectionary that I had handed over to Francis weeks ago, that this is what we would use today, I thought maybe there's a middle ground. Maybe there's an option for today that we hadn't considered. We're going to be here taping the service. We got a big sanctuary and a small church. We're very close to the 10 limit. And the way people are spread out, nobody's touching anybody they don't live with. So I think for today, God answered it for me, that today we can do this. I don't know what the future holds, and I do pray that each of you are listening to your doctors, to yourself, to the CDC, and that you are taking care of yourself, and that you will stay home and not go out and listen to what draws you somewhere, but really spend this week discerning what the Lord wants for you. We listen to the news. We listen to our family. I encourage you this week to also prayerfully, courageously, boldly, and creatively listen to God. Let us pray. Dear God, we ask your safety on us today as we gather here. We ask your blessing on all who worship online, all who have had familiar things changed. You have not given up on us. You are still leading us. You are still our shepherd, and you are still speaking. Help us to hear you. Amen. We are counting this month our having our invitation hymn as being a reminder of inviting each of us into Lent. The words of this hymn are beautiful, and they're very Lent-oriented. It's, if you will trust in God to guide you. We will sing all three stanzas, and then we will have the benediction. You may stand if you want to.
Thank you.
now our benediction. God, protect us with your healing love. Guide us with your mighty power. And hold us close to you. Amen. Our hymn of departing is "Now Let Us Depart in Peace," and we will only sing it one time today. Just looking at them, it tells you who's watching. I'm glad I couldn't see that before. You said Paul and Pam were watching?
Paul and Pam and a couple others.
Oh, good. All right. Well, thank y'all for trying something new. And who knows what we'll do next week, but Buzzy will get the word out and help me get the word out. And but this week, please stay safe. And if you get to shop locally. You could even buy a book.